You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It is the second favorite day of the week. It is what we like to call around here Camel Day, otherwise known as Hump Day. Hit it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, Boomer's already smiling. I'm glad. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Did you go out dressed as Tigger last night?
I was Tigger.
You were awesome.
From Winnie the Pooh.
You were a good dad.
It was a blast.
That's good. I told you my son went out. I showed you pictures.
Yes.
He was dressed as Luigi and my little grandson was Mario.
Those were epic.
It was good stuff. All right. Well, hey, we got a great show laid on for you. It's 4 o'clock on Wednesday that we do the thing that we also do on Hump Day, and that's the Grand Council with Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. They'll be on with us, so stay tuned for that one. Grand Council, Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor. And then on top of that, man, the triple dipper. Wow, hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know while we run today's show. Number one, go woke, go broke. All right, listen, I'm not just talking about companies. We're going to talk about instances of go woke, go broke in state government. We're going to talk about go woke, go broke in business. We're going to talk about go woke, go broke in the entertainment industry. It's out there. People are sick of it, and they're voting with their wallets. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. Number one, triple dipper, go woke, go broke. Number two, on the home front. All right, there's a lot of concern right now, like legitimate concern, not just like social media concern, but like public officials who should know things concerned, saying that we need to keep an eye out on the security of our home front, right here at home, the home front. We have had an epic disaster through the southern border. They're catching people on the terrorist watch list, and we just cannot help but be concerned about what is happening on the home front. So we'll talk about that in great detail. Brace yourselves for it. And then number three on the triple dipper, assuming I can get through everything and do it, we're going to talk about what I call state versus state. You know, it's amazing when you look at it, the fact that, you know, states, they can be polar opposite. Case in point, Florida, California. What are the numbers? What do the numbers say about Alabama? State versus state, where are we right now? Are we one of those people want to move to? Are we one of those that has high quality of life? Where are we in the education rankings? All that matters, state versus state. We'll talk about it, number three, on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my opening comments, my monologue. Got to remind you guys, my monologue is sponsored by Southern Immediate Care. The Right Side Way monologue every single day, sponsored by Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all around our listening area, 5 locations in the Birmingham area, places in the Northeast like at Gadsden, Anniston, Atala. Listen, Southern Immediate Care opens 7 days a week. Proud to have them as a sponsor, and they are the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, so let me tell you, I'm just going to be honest, this one might be actually hard for me to do. Today would have been my dad's 84th birthday, and I say would have, because he passed away 10 years ago when the Agent Orange that he had been exposed to in Vietnam finally caught up with him. And my dad was larger than life to me. He was a career Army officer. He had 6 Bronze Stars and 2 Air Medals, all for valor, earned during 2 very hot tours in Vietnam. He was my dad, he was the best man at my wedding, and he was a role model in many ways. Today would have been his birthday. My very first memory of him was as a toddler on the day he came home from his first tour. I could still see him standing in the doorway in my mind's eye. And I'll be honest with you, I miss him every day. Now, Dad didn't talk about Vietnam much. He was proud of his time there, proud of the men he served with, stayed in touch with a number of them. He was an active member of the Black Horse Association because his second tour was with the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment. Their symbol is a black stallion reared up on its hind legs. Dad used to like to poke fun at anybody else who claimed to be cavalry. He liked to say, well, there's cav, and then there's regimental cav. When I was just getting into the idea of serving in the military myself, I used to go out in the garage and, like, rummage through his old footlockers. Man, those old footlockers, they smelled like old army. Like a mix of boot polish and old leather and Brasso with some aging paper and old fatigues all blended together. Some of y'all know exactly the smell I'm talking about. Now, I knew that my dad had been in the thick of things when he was over there, but I really didn't know much about it, because like I said, he didn't tell stories much about it. Well, this one particular day, I had just been learning recently how to read a topographic map, how to determine grid coordinates, how to establish a bearing on a compass and shoot an azimuth and terrain associate if I had to. I'd also been learning the skill of how to call for artillery fire, how to call for a medevac. So on one particular day, as I was rummaging around in his old school green wooden footlockers looking for some cool stuff that I could use, I found a well-worn, folded, very creased-up map. It was a map of some part of the Central Highlands of Vietnam. It had been laminated to make it waterproof. The laminate was old and yellowing, and along one edge of the margins, in his handwriting, underneath the laminate, made it a permanent part of the map, was the unmistakable outline for a 9-line medevac report. And right above that was the format for calling for artillery fire. And that call for fire section caught my attention because it still had coordinates written on it in grease pencil, even though it had to be 15-plus years old. So I was standing there trying to make heads or tails of it when my dad came in the garage and he asked what I was doing. And I held up the map and I asked him what I was looking at. Well, he got a thoughtful look on his face. He took the map and he studied it for a minute. And then he read the old coordinates and he began to trace his finger over the grid lines on the map. And finally he said, well, you see that hill right there? And he pointed to it with his finger. And I said, yes, sir. He took a deep breath and he said, I was advising a South Vietnamese infantry company, and this was my last day in the bush. We were on top of this hill. Had a whole North Vietnamese battalion trying to get up the hill to us. I was calling in artillery, but my position was on such a steep slope that the only way I could adjust fire was to stand up, look down on them right below me, hunker back down, and call in more rounds. That was when I began to fully appreciate where he had been and what he had been doing. It was also one of the only stories that I knew, but there were a couple of others. Hanging on the wall in my study is my dad's Bowie knife. It's old and weathered and hard. The wooden handle's all scuffed up. The brass hilt and the blade are tarnished almost black. Dad carried that knife in Nam, and he told me he used it for cutting vines and coconuts. Well, like I said, I only heard one or two stories about his tours in Vietnam over the years. I mean, there were snippets here and there, but only a few real stories. But one of those stories was about that knife. Dad said he had this little South Vietnamese guy who was good at throwing knives. And he was always pestering my dad about that big old Bowie knife that Dad had hanging on his side. He used to show off his throwing skills and then look at Dad and say, Dai Wei, Dai Wei, you throw a big knife, you throw a big knife. And Dad would say, no, no, just for chop chop. And Dad wasn't flashy. He wasn't a show off. I mean, he was a big man, 6'4", way over 200 pounds. But he didn't like to get into these little contests, right? But one day, apparently, he just had enough. He decided to prove to this guy that it was not a throwing knife. So he pulled out that big honking 10-inch blade from its sheath, and he pointed at a tree like 20 feet away and threw it. And he said to his shock, it hit right where he said it would. It sunk that blade like 3 inches deep in the trunk. He said he actually had to brace one foot against the trunk of the tree just to pull it out. The little guy never asked him to throw it again. And my dad would laugh and say, it's a good thing because there's no way I could do that twice. But if you'll indulge me here on my dad's birthday, I need to tell you one more story. It's the only other one I know, and it tells me, though, that there was something special about him coming home. You see, it's my understanding that sometime during his second tour, he was assigned the duty of being the paymaster for his squadron. This was the old days back in the Army when you got paid in person and you had to sign for your pay. They called it payday activities. Well, Dad was supposed to catch a chopper out to one of the more remote fire bases to handle payday when a young first lieutenant apparently came in and asked if he could hop on the same chopper out to the fire base. Well, Dad didn't know him. Hadn't ever seen him before. He told the LT that the manifest was already full. He'd have to catch the next flight, but the lieutenant was insistent that he had to report to the firebase ASAP. And then he just said, could you please assign me the paymaster duties, and I'll do it for you. And finally, Dad agreed. And the guy took his place on the Huey, and they flew off. But they never got there. You see, the chopper was shot down. Everyone on board was killed. But when they did the recovery operation, there was no trace of the lieutenant. There was nothing. No body, no equipment, nothing. So my dad made inquiries, but no one had any record of this young lieutenant. No one knew who he was. He was a mystery. A guy who showed up at the right time, took my dad's place, and by doing so, probably saved his life. Well, the first time I heard that story, I was already an adult. My dad told it one day at Whitesburg Baptist Church in Huntsville. He said that to the very end, he believed that an angel had taken his place. I reckon so, and I'm glad. My dad retired in the early 80s, earned his doctorate, became a successful businessman. He was the state finance director for the state of Alabama. He was the only man to have been district governor of Rotary twice. He ran for governor in 1998. I believe he wished he had done more, but as he lay on his deathbed, he was taken aback by the number of people who kept coming to see him to let him know that he had done more than he'd ever known he did. I really wish I knew more of the stories, but the ones I do know, they tell me a lot. So happy birthday, Dad. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.